So we're going to start by looking at where we've been as a church, then we're going to look at who we are, and then we're going to look at what are we going to do over the next 5 years. And that's what we're going to try and do this morning. So let's just pray, shall we, and just ask the Lord to speak to us. Father, we just say, open our eyes to your purposes, Lord God. It's so easy for us to get caught up with the small. And we say, Jesus, come open our eyes to what you're doing, not only just in this church, but in this nation and across the world. God, you are on the move in an unprecedented way, Lord God. You are bringing the nations into your kingdom, and they're flocking in, thousands, millions, Lord God. And we say, God, come, catch us up with our purpose in that, Lord God, the part that we have to play, Lord God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, 2007 was quite a remarkable year for us as a church, for those of you around. I asked a number of people, what were the highlights for you? And someone said, a number of people said there's different things. Someone said, it has to be the overall growth of the church in faith and power. I don't know if you sensed it, just in throughout the year, it just felt like all of us were gathering together and growing in faith and seeing more of God's power. Someone else said it was seeing so many step into leadership. Someone said it was the number of our kids who gave their lives to Christ for the first time in 2007. I asked Nikki, and there are actually four of our children who made first-time commitments this year, which was just so exciting. I think that's the most we've had in a year. Four of our kids came through and gave their lives to Christ. We actually had 29 adults as well make first-time commitments last year, which again is the most we've ever had. 15 of those have been added to us. Six of them, they've definitely made a commitment. They're not quite added into us yet. So it's just great numbers to see what God's done throughout 2007. I asked Ali Inwood, who leads our King's Arms project, which is our outreach to the disadvantaged, many of whom are homeless, and she said, my highlight has to be 1 month this year, when in the same month we saw four people saved, one recommit, and we were pledged £41,000 over 3 years after we prayed at a prayer meeting asking God for £40,000. Now that was a nice month. Bit of an understatement. So it was an incredible year. If you remember, we also had some very specific goals across 2 years, and the first was that we would have £250,000 added to the building fund. That was our first goal. The second was that we would have 250 people on average on a Sunday, and the third was that we'd have 25 small groups. That was kind of what we'd been praying for and asking God throughout 2006 and 2007. So let me just give you a quick update on the money. If you remember, just in November, we actually achieved that goal and more. We had £293,270 added to our building fund, which brings our total so far to £541,500, which is just an incredible amount that we've seen God pour into us as a church, and many of you have given faithfully, and that's the total we've got left after we've also given 10% away to various things. Some of that we've still got to give away, but it's just amazing, isn't it, what God's done. Royden was telling me now that just on that money alone, we get £25,000 a year interest, just on the money we've already gathered. So God, if it's just adding, obviously we know that we need about £2 million or more for a building, but we're a huge step of the way towards it, which is so exciting. Our second goal was that we'd have 250 people on average gathered here. And this is the one that we've found hardest. Actually, we added around 50 people last year alone, just in 2007. But even with that, our average Sunday attendance just for the September term was around 240. So we're not quite at the 250 we've been praying for. What was encouraging, though, was that we broke our record for the biggest normal Sunday three times last year, and we actually broke it again last Sunday. We had 265 people here last Sunday, include the kids, it was about 340. So that is just amazing that God's just adding people. And some of you might be thinking, well, what's all this about numbers? You know, you're always talking about numbers. What's all this about numbers? Listen, God is interested in numbers. He wrote the book of the Bible and he called it Numbers for that very reason. He's naming people. He's counting people because every individual matters to him. Every single person matters to him. That's why we're on about numbers. That's why he is always talking about numbers and multitudes, because everyone matters. The church is not a nameless, faceless body. It's an army, a people, a community made up of individuals whose lives have been transformed by God's power. And for those of you who were here last Sunday, it was just amazing when Wendy had a word for a lady who's a visitor, and she was sitting over here somewhere. Anna, I think was her name. It was her first time here, and Wendy said, "I've just feel like God has got something for you," and asked her to stand up. And I always feel terrible for the visitors when that's ever going to happen. We're not going to do that this morning, so relax if you're a visitor. But I always feel terrible, and I said, "I'm so sorry, you know, you're a first-time visitor." And she said, "It's okay, I've been asking God for a word this morning." So I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And Wendy said to her, I see you writing. Does writing mean anything to you?" And Wendy had never met this woman before, and she said, "Well, yes, actually, I'm a journalist." And as she did, she just began to weep, for those of you who are here. Why? Because she knew that God was interested in her, that God knew the detail of her life, and that the word was about to come was from the living God. There was no other way that information could have been known. And that's the God that we follow. He cares for every single one of us. It's not just about numbers. It's people gathering together with our values and vision to achieve something big for God in this town. And our last goal for 2006-2007 was 25 small groups. We started the year with 15 groups, the two-year period with 15 groups. Two groups closed, which was unfortunate, but then we added 12 groups. So we hit our goal, 25 small groups, 2006-2007. We have never, ever done that as a church, to start 12 groups across a two-year period. It's just incredible. So I would just like to take a moment just to honour some of the people who have made that happen. So if you're a small group leader, why don't you just stand right now? If you're a small group leader, just want to honour you guys. There's obviously some not here. If you're a... You guys stay standing. But if you're a coach, if you're someone who coaches a small group, why don't you stand as well? Are there any coaches here? There's a few people. Let's just honour these guys, shall we? Thank you for all that you've done. You can sit down now. So overall, it was an outstanding couple of years. God is really on the move, and that's what He's been doing. So that's where we've been. That's what He's been doing amongst us, which is just so encouraging. I hope you feel encouraged to see the journey that we've been on. I just want to just take a moment just to say, remind us who we are. And there's a very quick slide that will come up, which hopefully you're familiar with and probably got stuck on your fridge. This is our purpose as a church. We do these five things. This is who we are. This defines everything that we do. This is our existence. Firstly, we exist. Let me just remind you quickly what they are, in case there's some here who've not heard it before. We exist to know and worship God, not just to know about God, but to know Him, to encounter Him, to worship Him, to live our lives in relationship with Him. One of my favorite testimonies last year, I mean, they're all special, but one of my favorites was when somebody said this. She said this: "I always felt second best in God's eyes, like I wasn't quite good enough. It was like there was a barrier between me and God that stopped me knowing Him completely. But when I came to King's Arms, I was challenged to praise God for what He was doing in the lives of others, even if I felt nothing. As I did this, I felt myself drawing to God. Then a few nights later, someone had a word from God for me. In one night, all my feelings of being second best were just wiped away. For the first time, I think I began to understand the love that God has for me. Now when I worship God, it's not just words that I sing, but I worship Him from the heart." That's why we exist, to know Him, to draw together, and to help each other encounter the living God. And secondly, we exist so that everyone who joins King's Arms can be equipped for service. This is a key Sunday for us, an opportunity for you to chat to those who are involved with serving and leading that area. Jesus often described the world as God's vineyard, as God's building, as the thing that God was making. And He described the church as God's workforce, God's workers, those who are not just going out on their own, but are working in partnership with the living God to do something incredible on this planet. We have got the Spirit of the risen Christ living in us. Each one of you. Each one of you has the Spirit of the living Christ, risen living Christ, existing, living inside of you. So it is illegal for us to get up every morning and not expect to change the world around us. It's illegal. There's something wrong when we get up and don't expect to change the world around us, because He lives in us and we're equipped to serve, and He's adding gifts to each one of us. All of us, every one of us, have a part to play in this mission that he's calling us on. And the third one is spiritual growth, because we're called to be transformed into the image of Christ. Let me ask you, did you grow in 2007? If not, make the change in 2008. Do something in 2008 so that you grow spiritually, so that you develop, because we're not just here to stay the same, but so that the living Christ can change us and transform us. I remember in 2007, there was a time when I sat down with PJ, and I said, PJ, you've got to, no, I said, PJ, I've got to change in this area. I've got to change, help me change in this area. And as we sat and talked and spent an hour together talking, I came out of that. And there was something that shifted. Because as we gather together, we help each other be transformed into the image of Christ. Make a change this year. And we exist to belong to family. Someone was telling me this year, they said, when I first came to the King's Arms, when I first walked into this hall, when I first became part of this community, I felt like I had come home. And there's two reasons for that. Either they're father was a school caretaker, or, which I think is the reason, as they got built in and knitted in to a small group community, they found life, they found home, and that's what we're about. We're not just about the task, but living life together. And finally, we exist because of the mission. It's what stops us from becoming an overgrown social club. What stops us from just spinning the wheels? It's because of the mission. And someone was telling me they're not a Christian yet, but they were telling me this year, they said, I don't believe in God, I never have, but I can't dismiss the fact there's something different about the King's Arms. I like you guys, you're not what I expected. I hear stories of people being healed, and I can't just write it all off. Isn't that the call on us? To be so different that people, even if they don't believe in God, just can't just write it all off, because they see something different about us. We're here for the mission. So that's where we've been, that's who we are, and I just want to take a few minutes then to outline where we are going. And I've got a freebie for you, so you'll be pleased to hear. So if the stewards could hand out the freebies. We've done mugs, that's all very 1990. We now have bookmarks. We also have fridge magnets. You'll be pleased to hear we have a new fridge magnet. So there's going to be one per fridge out in the foyer for you afterwards. No expense spared. But we have bookmarks, which are useful for many different things. One for keeping your place in the book, of course, and perhaps even a magazine, secondly. You can use them for many things. I can't think of anything else. And so I want us, as we look at this together, this is where we feel as a team. This isn't just PJ Roy and myself as elders. This is our team, those who oversee the ministry areas, Ali, Wendy, Jan in the healing prayer, and many others who oversee ministry areas, Steve, Ewan, Mike. We've gathered together and we've been praying and asking God, What do you want us to do for the next 5 years? And so this is kind of the fruit of what we've been looking at. I want to recognize also the number of different quality churches in this town. Okay, as we do this, as we celebrate and as we get expectant for what we want God to do through us, that doesn't take away from what he's doing everywhere else. Do you know? That doesn't take away from what he's doing. There are some fantastic churches in this town. I always say that to people when they come here. There are some fantastic churches, but we just need to celebrate what God is doing amongst us right now. Just for a moment, focus on what he's doing here. That doesn't take away from them. So we're calling these our Olympic goals. Okay, our Olympic goals, because 2012, you'll be aware, is the London Olympics. So we have 5 years to ask God and to work like crazy to fulfill these things. This is what we feel him calling us to do. And the first one is that we would have 500 people here. That's adults and teenagers, 13 and over. It's not just Sunday attendance, but part of us as a community. 500 adults and teenagers brought into the King's Arms, attending regularly, part of our community. If you add the kids in, that means there'll probably be around 650 to 700 of us at that point. We're currently around 320 to 330 adults and teenagers. And I'm hoping that, and we're praying that over this period, that we add people from different nationalities, different social backgrounds, different ethnic origins. 500 people, 700 including the kids. I guess the question is, can we believe God for it? Can we ask God to do that amongst us in these next 5 years? I was encouraged by Numbers 14. It says this: "But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." That's God himself speaking. And when God says truly as I live, he doesn't hardly ever say that. So when he says that, you know he is for real. You know this is God himself declaring something that must be. He's almost swearing on himself. He's saying, truly, as I live, the whole world will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And we're part of that. We're not part of some tin pot thing here. Jesus is building his church. And I don't believe the church is just going to fade out and get more and more insignificant. No, I believe that the darkness, yes, will get darker, but the church is going to shine brighter. It's going to be a light, a witness. I don't believe that the Acts of the Apostles was the greatest acts that ever happened in the church. I don't believe that God is just a historian. No, God wrote those to encourage us that greater things are yet to be. The end time church will be greater than anything that's ever gone before. God is gathering us together, and he's calling us to gather many people in to this church. And that's why we run men's breakfast and breakfast with the girls, events that you can invite anyone to, because we recognize that for some, they've had such terrible history with church that they won't even set foot in through the door. And so we run these events just to be open to anyone, say, hey, come along, just hear something about what we're doing. Remember, Joe Gamby came last year. And it was just such a brilliant event. She was just so, she's climbed seven mountains. I mean, just insane life that she's nutcase. But she's passionate for God. And it came across so well that she's an absolute nutter, but passionate for Jesus at the same time. It was just brilliant. And we've invited also this year a guy called David Robertson, who's written a brilliant book in response to Dawkins. You've heard of Dawkins, The God Delusion. And so Dawkins wrote this book, The God Delusion, saying that, you know, it's all a load of rubbish, Christianity. Well, David Robertson has just written the most outstanding book responding to Dawkins and called Letters to Dawkins. So we've invited him to come to King's Arms to do a similar Joe Gamby-style event. And it's just going to be a great one to invite those who don't normally come along to church to. This is the question: can we believe God for 500 people? It's a big goal. And on the sheet in front of you, we've just listed out some things that you can do to play your part in that goal. And as I go through these, I want you to be looking at, because it's fair enough just having a nice logo and all that kind of stuff, but the nuts and bolts of this are what we all take part in. It's what we do as part of this as a church. 500 people, what's your part? What can you do to be part of that goal? And the second goal that we feel called to is 40 small groups. 40 small groups built around this town, gathering these 500 people into them. I visited a church at one time with Caroline and the kids, and as we went there, we arrived a little bit early, so we sat in our seats, and I was looking at the news sheet or something, kind of looking down, and I was aware of this presence, and it wasn't the Lord. You know, sometimes you just, in your peripheral vision, you just get aware of his presence. So I was looking down, and I looked up, and there was a couple standing there, and they said, hello. So I said, hello. And it's my first time, I've never been to church before. I said, hi. They said, are you sitting there then? So I said, yes. Strange question. So they said, oh. So I said, is that a problem? And they said, we'll sit in the row behind then. I realised I was in their, we were in their seat. They'd come here for years and we were in their seat. And some of you might be thinking, I'm not sure I want this church to get bigger. I mean, what if there's no donuts left? And what if somebody, there's nowhere to park, or somebody sits in my seat? See, we don't like change, do we? It can make us feel insecure. You know, one of the keys for us is, as this church gets bigger, it has to get smaller. It has to get smaller, because you can just get lost in the crowd. But each of us need to be part of a community, of 8 or 10 people that cares for one another, looks after one another, is there for one another. That's what we have to do if we're going to reach this goal of 500 people. We've got to keep it intimate. We've got to keep it small. And that's going to take all of us welcoming, gathering, adding people in, making sure we're not just numbers on seats, but a genuine community mobilized together. So this year, if we break that down, we need to, given that perhaps a number of small groups, a couple might close, we need to add probably 5 small groups this year. And that is a big task for us again. That's all of us playing our part. Some of us, it's time for us to step up into leadership. We've been Christians for years. We've been sucking in, and we've never really taken the commitment, I'm going to lead. I'm going to give out something of what God has put into me. And for us, this is the year that you're going to do that. The biggest bottleneck in any move of God is leadership. Always is leadership. People who will stand up and be counted and say, I will lead, I'll pay the price to lead others through into the thing that God is doing. So some of us have got to do that. We're going to work harder at leadership development. Some of us, you just need to commit to the small group you're in to make it the best small group it can be. If you've never prayed seriously for your small group to multiply, I urge you to start praying now. Because that's what every small group should be looking to. Because they've got to multiply. And we like to keep it all in together in a nice community. But if things don't multiply, they don't grow. They just die. And so we've got to keep this going. I've been through four small group multiplications now. And it is painful every time. It's painful every time to see some friends, you know, multiply into a different group. But I recognize every time that this is what God is about. We've got all heaven, all eternity to enjoy everybody. But actually, for now, we're on this mission. And yes, we need to keep it close. Yes, we need to open our hearts to one another. But there comes a point where we've got to multiply. And that's the call on all of us. 40 small groups. Go through these quickly. 30 miracles on the streets. This is one of the big ones. The other two were insignificant. This is one of the big ones. When we were thinking about these goals, we felt God just put in our hearts that we had to have a goal that reflected seeing his power break out in the town around us. And we're excited to see what he's doing, the people that he's healing on a Sunday, and we're excited to see what he's doing here. But we felt, actually, we want to be asking God for 30 miracles on the streets in the next 5 years. Identified people. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. That's the way he lived his life. If you look through Acts of the Apostles, there are 14 clearly identified miracles. 5 of them happened in church meetings. 2 of them, it's not clear where they were. 7 of them were in the streets, in the workplaces. 50%! That's got to be our standard. God is too big to be cooped up here and just in our small group meetings. It's got to be out there. We've got to be living in that place. And so no longer is Sunday or small group just a nice gathering. It becomes a training ground to moving in the power of God. When you go to your small group, when you gather here on a Sunday, I urge you, come with that mindset. I am going to get trained a bit more this day. I'm going to get a bit more of the presence of God in my life. I'm going to step up a little bit in authority. I'm going to see something happen. I'm going to learn how to pray for the sick a bit more today. I'm going to learn how to receive words from God today. Because when you're out there on the streets, when you're out there in the workplace, you know, and you've got a friend there saying, oh, just I've been in agony for months. I've done it. I think this might be serious. You can't say, just hang on a minute. I need to ask Damien to come and play some worship songs in the background while I pray for you. No, it's not like that. We've got to be equipped in here so that when we go out, we can just do it with no presence, with no Damien, with no worship leader. Just do it. Just do the stuff. So this becomes a training ground. And as we get comfortable praying for each other, healing people, seeing people set free in this environment, in our small groups, we'll become more and more comfortable doing it out where it's got to be done, out there on the streets. I remember hearing a story from Bill Johnson's church in the States of one guy, and he was driving along in his car, and he sees a guy on the sidewalk walking along with a crutch, and he was about to drive by thinking nothing of it, and he just suddenly felt God say to him, didn't you pray for someone on Sunday and see them healed of a leg complaint with a crutch, and they walked away and left the building without their crutch? And he's like, yes. And there was a silence. So he thought, I suppose I could go and pray for that guy. So he pulled his car over, turned around, came back and pulled over next to the guy and got out of the car and said, you're going to think I'm a bit odd, but I prayed for someone on Sunday with a leg condition with a crutch and they were totally healed. Could I pray for you on the sidewalk, on the street corner? And the guy's like, I guess so. So he does. Power of God hits the guy, he's totally healed, walks away without his crutch. You see, it's starting to happen across the world, and it's even starting to happen here. Twice this week, I had texts from people, one saying, just pray for me, I'm going to give a prophetic word to someone in a cafe. The other one saying, pray for me, I'm about to pray for my work colleague who's sick. Now, it's hard to get to express fear over a mobile phone, but I could feel it coming off my phone. It was oozing out of my phone. But you see, God is taking us beyond our fear, beyond the thing that's held us back all this time. Suddenly we're starting to break free from it and think, well, I'm not going to live that my life thinking, oh, I was just too afraid to do it. God is calling us to step past that point. Let me tell you a secret. We have not seen anything yet. We have not seen anything yet of what God is going to do. These are the fledgling baby steps that we're taking. And we're learning together and falling over and the disappointments and all of that stuff. But that's the only way that you learn to walk. Look at the disciples. They failed more than they succeeded. And then suddenly the power of God came and Acts and the rest is history. They changed the known world. Now, I just need a word for the legalists. It doesn't literally have to be on the streets, okay? I want to say, you know, you don't have to say to someone, look, I'd like to pray for you, but could we just step outside? Because I want to get one of the 30. You know, they're not going to understand that. It doesn't literally have to be on the streets. You know, if you come to me and say, Simon, you know, I healed a guy and he was crippled and now he got out of his wheelchair and he's walking, I'm not going to say, yeah, but you were in a restaurant. It doesn't count. Okay, it's not going to be like, it doesn't have to be literally. Some of us will literally see people were healed on the streets. For many of us, it's going to be in our workplaces, in our homes, in other people's homes. Where it is not so relevant. The important thing is that it's out there, that God's power comes out of the church into the workplace, out of the church into the homes, into the school playground, and that we see people set free and see people delivered. Secretly, there were some people when we talked about this goal of 30, some people said, that's 30, that's way too many. Some people said, 30, that's nothing. So depending on where you stand, 30 is, for this year, that's 6 this year, that's 1 every other month. We're already halfway through January. So we've got to get moving. It's a scary goal, but don't you love it? Don't you love it? Mike said yes. He was one of the ones who... And secretly, I'm hoping that we blow this goal out of the water, that we get such a momentum on this thing that we start to see stories popping up all over the place. We saw 2 people last year healed in homes, actually. One in a workplace, one in a home. Unbelievers, totally set free. Well, let's ask God for more. To that end, we're running 2 conferences this year. We did our first conference last year, so this year we're running 2. In April... we've got Trevor and Sharon Baker from Birmingham, who Tabo Huntley knows, and he's got us an in with them. They're coming to us for 2 or 3 days, we're going to call it Heaven Touches Earth, Stepping Out in Signs and Wonders. And they have seen stuff in their local church, but also they travel to India 2 or 3 times a year, have seen blind eyes open, the deaf hear, the lame walk. So they are coming I've invited them to say, come and equip us. Come and just help us take the next step. So they're going to come in April. And of course, Peter Jackson is coming next year. He just confirmed. So he's coming in October for a few days as well. Because the more we get the Father's love in our hearts, the more it starts to overflow. God is calling us to that. Just very quickly, I'll finish the last 2. We're nearly done. 2 times the commitment. Jesus said to his disciples, go to the world and make disciples. He didn't say just get people to respond. Make disciples. Gather disciples. Teach them to follow all that I've taught you. And in King's Arms, we have no formal membership at all. You know, if you turn up, then that's great. And we love that because I love the fact that people can just belong before they believe. That they can, and I love the fact that there's numbers of you here who are not yet Christians, and yet you feel part of us, and you're on a journey to discovering God, and I think that is fantastic. And that's the way we love it to be. But there comes a point where we need to commit. There comes a point for all of us where we stop being in the crowd and we start being a disciple. we start following Christ. And so Jesus expected radical commitment from his disciples, and he still expects it today. So we feel like there's four basic measures for commitment to the King's Arms. First is to be part of a small group. Second is to serve. Third is to support us financially. And the last one is to pray. Those four things, to be part of a small group, to serve, to support financially, and to pray. Those four things, we're saying, if you're committed to us and want to be committed to us, and if you don't, that's fine, but if you want to be committed, if you feel stirred with what God's doing here, and you think, I want to put my oar in, I want this to count for me as well, then I urge you to start doing those four things. To be part of, join a small group, to serve in some way in the church, to commit to support us financially, and to pray for us. And we've done some research, and of the 320 adults that are part of us at the moment, there's around 120, 130 who do those first three things. It's hard to know who prays and who doesn't. But the first three things, who are part of a small group, who serve and support us financially, there's about 130. And so what we're asking God for in this 5 years is that number will double, that we'll have 250 of us who are part of that committed group in the church. And that's what we're saying. And the last goal that we've got is obvious, one building. And as you can see, it does 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Has anyone spotted that? So sometimes you have to point these things out. Otherwise, months later, people say, come up to you and say, oh, it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I never got that. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, one building. I don't think I need to say any more. We're asking God to give us a place to extend his kingdom into this community, to make a statement that the doors of the church are opening. Last week, I think, was the first time we've run out of car parking spaces. People were parking on the streets. So we've been quite comfortable here for a while. It's going to get to the point where we're going to need our own place. And we're asking and preparing God for asking God for that, and you know all about it. So we've got our five purposes. Now we've got five goals that we're asking him for over the next 5 years. And I just want to say, it's going to take all of us to make this happen. It's going to take every single one of us playing our part and doing the things that God is calling us to do. And if you like what you're hearing and you like what you see in the King's Arms, I urge you, sign up to us, because I think these next few years are going to be absolutely amazing. There was one 6-year-old who declared this year, she said this, "I finally got it. I've been believing a lie, and it's been making me afraid. I don't have to believe that anymore. I'm going to believe the truth. Don't have to believe that lie anymore. I'm going to believe the truth." Isn't that what it's all about? From 6 to 86. I don't have to believe those lies anymore. I'm going to believe the truth. Life-changing stuff. Let's stand together, shall we?